Welcome in. This is the FPC Chiefs Podcast. I'm Braden Holacek, the managing editor for Full Press Coverage, Chiefs of FullPressCoverage.com, coming to you on a Friday when you guys listen to this recording at late Thursday night in the lead up to this Sunday's AFC Championship game between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills. Chiefs, the first ever AFC team to host three straight conference championship games. The only other team to do that in NFL history was the Philadelphia Eagles, 2002 to 2004. So Andy Reid's been the only head coach to ever accomplish that feat in both conferences. And of course, we're going to talk about Reid, what he had to say on his quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, the updates there. And we're going to kind of touch on that right away and kind of just go through some other latest headlines surrounding Chiefs and Bills. We'll talk a little bit today about some of our article content, what to watch for, and some certain aspects matchup-wise this weekend, some under-the-radar X-Factor players, and, of course, some keys to victory for each team. So really going to be a fun game, and I think conference championship weekend as a whole, to me, I mean, of course, Tampa Bay, it took them a little more time to gel in Tom Brady's first season, no training camp, but to me, I think when you look at how the season kind of unfolded as a whole, I think the body of work, I think it would tell you these are the four best teams in the NFL, Packers and Tampa Bay in the NFC, and of course, AFC, Buffalo and Kansas City. So to me, I mean, it's kind of fitting that these are the teams playing on conference championship weekend, all have a pretty good shot, I think, of, you know, having a case to win the Super Bowl here in a couple of weeks. And of course, right now, there's a lot of questions surrounding the Chiefs quarterback situation with Patrick Mahomes. So we're going to go ahead and start on that a little bit. And so far, it's been really encouraging news. And again, you got to take everything, you know, kind of slowly and with a grain of salt what you hear. But the first practice this week, Mahomes pretty much took all the snaps, according to Andy Reid. And at first, the Chiefs listed him as a full participant in Wednesday's practice. They updated their injury report later on, saying that he was limited. I guess what we found out afterwards is that they couldn't necessarily rule him as a full participant because when a player's still in the concussion protocol, that's an NFL rule that you either list him as do not practice or limited, no matter how many reps or snaps they took over the course of practice time. But that was a good sign off the bat to begin the practice week that he was practicing a little bit, and that's kind of what we anticipated going into Wednesday based off Tuesday's reports from both Ian Rappaport of NFL Network and Adam Schefter of ESPN, saying that, you know, he'd cleared some big steps in the concussion protocol to begin the week on Monday and Tuesday and was, you know, kind of transitioning to that next phase. Well, Thursday, earlier today, is again, I'm recording this Thursday night, pretty much the exact same thing on Wednesday. Mahomes was listed as a limited participant. And once again, Andy Reid said that he took the majority of the snaps. So I think, you know, all of it is encouraging signs. I've heard from multiple people so far and listening to some stuff from just a lot of people that are in tune with the Chiefs, whether it's from, you know, fan-sided or Yahoo Sports that believe it would be a pretty big shock right now if Patrick Mahomes does not play on Sunday. Now, of course, the biggest thing is the last hurdle of the concussion protocol. It all kind of comes down out of the team's hands and in the case of what the independent neurological consultant thinks. So that's going to be, I think, obviously the biggest and telling factor. But seeing that he's kind of progressed this well and this quickly through the concussion protocol, and again, we kind of talked about this on Tuesday's podcast episodes, that, you know, the Chiefs and Andy Reid were very careful on not really ever saying the word concussion. So it's never really been official that he's had a concussion during this injury this week. I mean, again, he's in the concussion protocol, but that's just something that they kind of had to put him in because, as we talked about on Tuesday's podcast episode, because he kind of came up staggering a little bit, that was a big reason as to why. But ever since the game on Sunday and the last couple days in practice, the thing that we've constantly heard reported is no symptoms for Mahomes and the fact that, you know, he's been able to clear the steps, early steps of the protocol at a relatively, you know, solid pace, because that's the thing that we were talking about on Tuesday is just, especially for quarterbacks over the course of the last few years, you know, have averaged anywhere from 7 to 14 days of recovery time after suffering a concussion. Again, it's not deemed that Mahomes officially had one, but the fact that he's progressed this quickly is a good sign. And I think it's also just the way Andy Reid is wording it. I know he's not a guy that you're necessarily going to get a lot of nuggets from sometimes in press conferences, but the fact that Reid has said both days, Wednesday and Thursday, that Mahomes has took the majority of the snaps, I think that's a telling sign, because obviously if Chad Henne was, you know, going to have a bigger chance at starting this game, you would figure that he would be taking more snaps than what Kansas City's put out there. Again, actions speak louder than words, but the words we've heard have all been encouraging regarding Patrick Mahomes' status for Sunday, especially when Andy Reid was saying that Thursday would be a more physical, probably hardcore practice for his team compared to Wednesday, where it's more of a walkthrough. And of course, at this point in the season, you're kind of going through mostly walkthroughs and slower practices at this rate anyway. But yeah, Thursday was a big day for the team, according to Reid, and the same verbiage was used about the quarterback. So again, stay tuned for Friday to see the official news, and it may not even be deemed yet by then, but Friday injury report-wise is a big sign. If Mahomes is listed as a full participant, I was listening to this earlier from Ian Rappaport, if he's listed as a full participant on Friday, obviously, we know that's going to be a good sign going into Sunday. We could see this drag out, though, into Saturday if need be. But again, all the signs are encouraging, and everything that I've kind of listened to and heard this week and everything I've kind of been told even by a couple of people is it would be a big shock at this point on Thursday night as of right now if Patrick Mahomes did not play this week. Again, it's kind of out of the team's hand is really the biggest thing right now. That is kind of the hurdle to get through for the quarterback. So we'll kind of stay tuned with that. Of course, you guys can follow us on Twitter at @FBC_Chiefs for more injury updates on Friday. And Mahomes is not the only injury to keep in mind. Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Sammy Watkins, of course, missed last week's win over the Browns in the divisional round. They've been limited in practice both days this week. And even though that's not full participation, it's still a good sign because Clyde did not practice the last few days last week, and Sammy has not really practiced, I think, in a few weeks, obviously, before this week. So just to see those guys get any kind of practice time right now is a good sign. You have Bashaud Breeland, who I think was also in the concussion protocol. They've listed him on the injury report as a concussion/shoulder injury. So Breeland's looking like a good sign, and Rashad Fenton with a foot has been limited as well the last couple of days. So at this point, I think I would be kind of shocked, along with Mahomes, if those guys didn't play, unless there's a major setback somewhere, either in protocols or just, just honestly health-wise, that spurs up out of the moment. I would be kind of shocked if none of these players, end up missing the game. So, I think the biggest thing right now, it's Willie Gay with his ankle injury he suffered in week 17. And then Le'Veon Bell had his knee, I think it was his left knee, swelled up on Thursday. So those are the only two that did not practice on Thursday. Hard to tell right now compared to the others, I think, if they're going to suit up this week. And with Le'Veon Bell, especially if you get Clyde Edwards-Helaire back, they've shown they can trust Darrell Williams too, another former LSU back. So I think they'll be just fine without Le'Veon Bell, which is a little disappointing for Bell, but knowing how this offense operates, knowing how much Andy loves to throw the football around the yard, no matter who's in it, quarterback, as we saw last week, I think they'll be okay without Le'Veon Bell. The tough thing without Willie Gay is just, I think when you look at this matchup and the fact that the Bills throw a lot of routes over the middle of the field, he could be a big help to somebody like either linebackers Damian Wilson or Anthony Hitchens, or even safeties, more general defensive backs like Tyrann Mathieu and Daniel Sorensen of covering in the middle of the field. So missing Willie Gay is still kind of a big thing, but they were without him last week and still played a pretty relatively strong defensive game. So that's kind of it kicking off this episode with the injuries. Again, Friday is going to be a big day on what, is kind of the status is there. Some of the official stuff probably won't come out more until we're deeper into the weekend. But again, I think when you look at guys like Rashad Fenton, Rashad Breeland, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Sammy Watkins, and especially Patrick Mahomes, I kind of would be shocked at this point if any of those missed the game, barring, like we said, a huge setback. So that's kind of it on the injury front. We'll take one quick break here, our first of a couple in this episode, and come back with our latest Chiefs Bills coverage from earlier in this week from our articles so far. All right, welcome back to the FPC Chiefs podcast, previewing the AFC Championship game between the Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills. So I guess we'll just start off with some of our latest coverage this week. I'm just talking about the history of these two teams. Of course, kind of like Chiefs and Browns last week, these are two franchises, of course, that have gone through some difficult stretches in history. This year was just the second year and second straight season, obviously, that the Bills have had double-digit wins since the turn of the century in 2000. Obviously, this was their first time they won the division in 25 years since 1995 in the AFC East. And, you know, this is the first time for them being in a conference championship game since January 1994 after the 93 season. And the last time they were in the conference championship game was against a team they're going to be playing this week, the Kansas City Chiefs. And, of course, I was not alive yet for that game, but it is kind of a historical quarterback matchup when you look back at it in history. Jim Kelly against Joe Montana, but Montana suffered a concussion in this game, so backup quarterback Dave Craig had to come in for the Chiefs in this one. Got a lot more playing time, it looks like, by the numbers and just the status of how this game kind of went. This was really kind of a dominant game back in January 94 for the Bills, which, of course, this was, you know, coming off of three straight AFC championship victories, three straight losses in the Super Bowl to the Giants, Washington, and then Dallas. And this win over the Chiefs led to their fourth straight loss in the Super Bowl, second straight year they lost to the Dallas Cowboys, 90s dynasty at that time. So a big day in that game for Thurman Thomas, 186 rushing yards, three touchdowns on the day, kind of leaving the Chiefs defense in the dust. And again, just with Montana getting knocked out, it was a rough day for the Chiefs offense back then in that game. So a 30-13 final, the last time these two teams met in the playoffs and the last time the Bills were in a conference championship game against the Chiefs, the same team they're going to see this weekend. So a little bit of history that was fun to throw out there that I wrote about in the thrilling headlines piece that came out on Wednesday. So if you guys have not checked that out, go ahead and check that out as well. Some other headlines to keep in mind, again, no definite sign yet that Mahomes is going to play, but assuming we do see Mahomes and Josh Allen face off, it's really going to be a fun matchup for, you know, draft pundits in this game, because these were two quarterbacks that when they were picked right away, not heavily revered by a lot of fans or analysts, you know, but the teams have always believed in them. I mean, you look at the gamble that the Bills took with Josh Allen, a guy that had originally no NCAA Division I offers. That includes FCS schools, not just FBS. So started his career at a junior college for 1 year at California, eventually would get an offer and go on to play at Wyoming, and really did not have a great season at Wyoming. Struggled against big schools like Iowa and I believe Nebraska maybe as well. I know Iowa for sure, but that last year he had at Wyoming, a really, really tough year, reading defenses, being able to put together complete games. And the Bills took a gamble on him to even traded up a few spots to go get him in 2018. And, of course, the history with the Chiefs and the Bills on the Mahomes trade. I mean, the Chiefs, obviously, the Bills were the team that they traded up with 17 spots to go get him. I was kind of reading a funny thing this week earlier that John Dorsey, the Chiefs general manager at the time of that Mahomes trade, he was more nervous about the Bills backing out, I guess, of the potential trade, because this was something that they maybe had discussed a couple of days prior to the 2017 draft. And the fact that it actually worked out the way Dorsey kind of described it and how things kind of laid out for the Chiefs. I mean, they got their guy and Brett Beach, who now is the general manager, was in the scouting department at the time, was kind of known for being the main guy to pound the table for Mahomes. And, you know, you just think about what would have been if, say, the Bills would have had the same, you know, aspirations about Mahomes back in that year and would have drafted him. That would have been really crazy to see, you know, imagine Mahomes doing what he's doing right now. Probably would not be the exact same without Andy Reid, but you know somewhere in some other universe that Mahomes is in a Bills uniform tossing touchdowns somewhere. So this will be a fun quarterback matchup, not just because of the draft history kind of between the two teams, but also, like we said, the gambles that both teams took have so far paid off. I mean, Josh Allen now, you look at how he's grown from his first year to his third year, a lot better seeing the field, a lot more comfortable staying in the pocket, not always having to leave the pocket early. And part of that is just the good offensive line that the Bills have built over the last couple of years as well, with veterans like Mitch Morse, and guys like Ike Bakker, Darrell Williams have really stepped up when other guys have gone down. So this is going to be a fun offensive line to watch on Sunday, a tough one for the Chiefs to face, but a guy behind them in Josh Allen that's gotten a lot more comfortable. So both have some of the bigger arms in the league. Both, again, were not heavily revered right away. Their teams believed in them. And both play with an unmatched confidence and swagger that I think is going to make for one of the more, you know, exciting non-AFC quarterback playoff matchups that could be, you know, a playoff quarterback rivalry maybe in the future. So both obviously still so young in their careers. So it is going to be a fun quarterback matchup, just knowing the history of both guys, especially with the draft in mind. You guys know I'm big NFL draft fans, and just, you know, knowing that really wasn't that long ago, it's going to be exciting to watch. Another thing that I really am excited to kind of talk about is the head coaching matchup, because these are two aggressive-minded head coaches. And, of course, Andy Reid, he has a vast tree. A lot of his disciples or former coordinators have gone on to have pretty strong head coaching careers. You look at guys like John Harbaugh, Ron Rivera, a lot of playoff appearances, Super Bowl appearances, even Doug Peterson. I know he's fired now in Philadelphia, but brought the Eagles their only Super Bowl win a few years ago. So it's a great tree, a coaching tree to be proud of, but it's one that's had a lot of success. And one of those guys is Sean McDermott, who I didn't realize he was with the Eagles team as long as he was until researching it this week. He joined Andy Reid's staff 2001 as an assistant to the head coach and kind of a defensive assistant. So he's had different job titles. He had different job titles with the Eagles, linebackers coach, secondaries coach, defensive backs, and eventually worked his way up the defensive coordinator for 2 years with the Eagles under Andy Reid, 2009 and 2010. So just seeing another protege that is, you know, now come to light as one of the more, you know, thoughtful head coaches, but a guy that, just like Andy Reid, you know, well-respected, his players love playing for him and going out to play for him every week. And a guy that I think is just, you know, something that's kind of been brought up a lot more now, I think, over the last couple of years in coaching hires is, you know, how much of a team CEO are you potentially hiring in a head coach? I mean, you can try to hire the next Sean McVay, next offensive or defensive guru, all you want. But when you get a guy, I think, like the Sean McDermott, I think that's so huge right now, this day and age in the NFL, is being a team CEO, so to speak, and being able to kind of just dialect and you know, decipher to everybody on your football team, everybody on your staff, rather than just focusing on one side of the ball, you know, having a great knowledge and sense of what your entire team is trying to build. And that's what, you know, the Bills have done such a good job in, and just these last couple of years where they've really become a better franchise. You look at GM Brandon Bean, who I think is, you know, voted maybe in some aspects. I think AP or at least Sporting News already viewed him as the executive of the year, and rightfully so. You look at that trade of Stephon Diggs, where we knew he could probably get moved from the Vikings, but it was a trade that came out of nowhere a little bit, and it obviously improved the Bills' offense still in a dramatic way. And obviously has helped Josh Allen this season. So what they've been able to build, that culture there, you know, McDermott, to me, I always like watching him. And I think he's just a well-respected guy, and he's definitely deserved it. Even Andy Reid said this week that he thinks McDermott should win Coach of the Year. So I don't think I can really disagree with him. It's tough not to look at what Kevin Stefanski did in Cleveland, knowing all their history there with the Browns. But looking at what McDermott's done, just in a short amount of time, knowing what this franchise had gone through so many years in their own right, I just love the way McDermott coaches this football team. It's in a strict way, but it's in a fun way, trying to get his players to elevate themselves and not, you know, bring anybody down. That's, again, a similar thing that Andy Reid does, and you can see it as a former guy in Andy Reid's coaching tree and then even working closely with Ron Rivera in Carolina. He's learned from some great guys, so that's going to be another fun matchup to watch on Sunday. The two coaches going at it, you know, not both offensive guys. Of course, McDermott, a defensive guy, but they're not afraid to swing the bat and be aggressive, and I think that both of them have even kind of improved a little bit on how aggressive they've been. I mean, I think just the last couple of years in the playoffs and having a quarterback and offense that you have in Kansas City, that's really helped Andy Reid to kind of reach his full potential even more, as good of a coach as he was beforehand. And then you look at McDermott, at just the depth they have on their football team. They've drafted really well in the trenches, added a lot to that defensive front, you know, a ton of roster moves the last couple of years. And, you know, they've really built a great foundation, the both of them. So the student versus the teacher matchup there among the coaches, it's going to be fun. And then the last kind of item that I wrote about in the thrilling headlines piece from Wednesday was just the kind of winning streaks that these teams are on, you know, near perfect streaks almost that these teams are on since their loss to the Tennessee Titans in week 10 of last year. The Chiefs are 24-2 in their last 26 games, including the playoffs, not just the regular season. So, you know, you look at some of those only losses that they've had, the Raiders, you know, with a game where I think they were just completely shocked in some aspects, right? Had a lot of weird mistakes, but still put a lot of points up on the board in that loss. And then, of course, to the Chargers, you know, resting the starters in that game this year. And Chargers were playing really hot at the end of the season. Justin Herbert capitalized on a great rookie year to finish it off the right way for him. And then you look at the Buffalo Bills, their last 12 games, regular season and postseason included, they're 11-1, but they could easily be 12-0. It was a miracle play that gave them their only loss in their last 12 games, the Hail Mary, where they lost in Arizona to the Cardinals. Kyler Murray somehow rolling out to his left, throws a perfect pass to DeAndre Hopkins, who catches it in triple coverage to down the Bills. And the thing that's even, I think, more forgotten about that game, obviously, because of the Hail Mary at the end, was the throw that Josh Allen had to Stephon Diggs, right? I mean, only like 36 seconds left in regulation right before that. It was a throw that not a lot of people can make, throwing kind of across their body a little bit, you know, from the right part of the field out to the left edge on the sideline, and only where Stephon Diggs could get it. And that's the throw right there that Josh Allen, I think, really kind of got people to finally completely notice, you know, that his improvements were, you know, finally here to stay. But again, it was all wiped away because of that Hail Mary at the end of the game to the Cardinals. So this team could easily be 12-0 in their last 12. Instead, 11-1, 8-game winning streak right now. And that Cardinals loss was their last game before their bye this year. So they've pretty much been refreshed ever since that loss. And it's really kind of been a long time since we've seen this team have any sort of trouble. Of course, the wild card game this year, it was a tight game against the Colts at times, but kind of one that you felt the Bills were never really, you know, wavering on. And then, of course, last week when you only give up 3 points to an offense like the Ravens, as hot as they were to end the season, that's a big statement. So these are two teams, obviously, that have been nearly perfect over the last either year and a half or last year, depending on what team you're talking about. So those are just some thrilling headlines that I think is going to make for an exciting game, obviously. When you look at these teams, I mean, they both do a lot of the same things really well to get their success. Of course, two offenses that throw the ball a lot and win down the field. But also defenses that are just really deep, able to defeat you at all three levels, and guys that are great leaders on that defensive side, whether it's younger guys or veterans. So two similar teams that I think are going to make for a fun game. We'll take one more quick break here, come back with a few more headlines and stories that we wrote about this week for FBC Chiefs, and then we will end this wrap up this episode with our keys to victory for each team. All right, welcome back again to the FPC Chiefs podcast here, previewing the AFC Championship game between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills. And one thing that is going to be interesting to watch on Sunday is kind of the weather in this game, because as we know, when these teams met back in week six earlier in the season, of course, it was kind of a weird game because, right, it was a Monday night game, supposed to be Thursday night football that week, but the rescheduled game the Bills had from the week before at the Tennessee Titans was moved to a Tuesday because of the Titans' COVID issues earlier in the season. So this was a game that was supposed to be a Thursday night, got moved to a Monday night game, and the Chiefs were able to win 26-17. And really, I don't even think looking back on that game, it was even that close. Josh Allen was not able to do a lot through the air. The Bills' running game was kind of, really non-existent, which has kind of been the case all season for them. So you look back on that game and how the defense played, and I think it was just really the Chiefs left some points on the board. I know Travis Kelce had a fumble lost in that game right before halftime. So it was definitely a game where I thought the Chiefs kind of dominated more than the score indicated. And you also look back on the game, it was also a weather-affected game. A lot of a rain in the air, slippery conditions on a turf field in Buffalo. It looks like we might see the same conditions this Sunday. As we look at the weather report right now, I was looking at it just a couple of minutes ago during that last break. And right now, the current forecast for Sunday in Kansas City, and remember, this is the second of the two conference championship games this week, so it'll be kickoff at 5:40 local time, I believe, in Kansas City. And that is the part of the day where the biggest rain chance is expected to come. It's pretty much a chance to rain all day long on Sunday in Kansas City, but the evening looks like that's going to be when the biggest chance could come. So 43 degrees for the high right now is the expected forecast. And if that's the case, I just think you look at these two teams, seeing how they kind of played each other back in week six, which I don't know how much you can actually take week six into account on some aspects. I think you can in a few, personnel-wise, but I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to see how they respond to the weather. I think, honestly, the Chiefs might be a little more built for that kind of weather. But again, two similar teams, so it may not really affect one as much as the other. But I think when you look back to that Week 6 game, it kind of looked like the Bills had more trouble with that. So if that's the case again on Sunday, depending on how much, rain there actually is or how much, in the air it's really moist, it's going to be an interesting point to watch. But yeah, I think personnel-wise, I mean, things that you can take, I think, from that Week 6 game is the Chiefs have a much better rushing attack, even though it's not, a rushing attack that is obviously known to be the main component of their offense, like, say, a Cleveland offense. So the Chiefs, this is the kind of time of the year, too, where they really get the running game going. We saw it last week with Darrell Williams, even with a limited amount of touches, got 6 yards per carry. And if you think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is coming back, you look at what he did in his first matchup against the Bills, right? Had his most carries, most rushing yards, and most yards per carry on the season in that game. 6.19 yards per carry, ended up with 161 rushing yards. I believe it was on 26 attempts. So, I just don't know if the Bills have enough in this game to totally shut down the running game. And again, we know Andy Reid likes to throw the football, but I think this is a game we could see if, especially if Edwards-Helaire is back, I think we could see the Chiefs kind of count on that running game a little more to control things, knowing what kind of quarterback and passing offense they're going up against in Buffalo. So those are kind of just a couple of key personnel things to keep in mind. Especially with the weather forecast involved, but I think of just things you actually can take away and bring into this game from their week six matchup. Those are kind of the things that stick out, especially when the Bills, to me, I mean, they're lacking a running game right now. Devin Singletary is really not giving a lot of opportunities. Buffalo's really hurt right now by not having the rookie out of Utah, Zach Moss, who got banged up, and is out with a meniscus or knee injury. So that's a big loss for them. I know I saw earlier this week that Moss had surgery recently. So he's going to try to start rehabbing already for their 2021 season. But I know there's been a couple of friends that I have, in the draft community and guys that are part of other draft sites out there have already maybe seen Bills as a team that could potentially go a running back early in the draft, maybe even round one, depending on what they feel like going with there in the first round. But again, those are going to be interesting things to watch. Another thing that I just wanted to talk about in this game that we wrote about for Thursday was three key matchups in this game. Two cornerback versus wide receiver matchups. And the first one that I want to talk about is Charvarius Ward versus John Brown. And Charvarius Ward mostly covering Rashard Higgins of the Browns last week. Kind of struggled throughout, his day last week when the balls were thrown his way. Baker Mayfield had a 146.5 quarterback rating last week when targeting Ward. Ward allowed 5 catches on the 6 passes that were thrown his way. So that's an 83.3 completion percentage against. Both yards per reception and yards per target, were at or above about 10 yards. So that's just a tough day for Charvarius Ward. Now, I will say there was a couple of throws where, he had at first pretty decent coverage and it was just a good throw to beat him. But you really, I think, got to see a big improvement in this game if you're Charvarius Ward. And I expect him to kind of line up more against a guy like John Brown, who, is just deadly down the field. I mean, his yards per reception all year long, every game this season pretty much were double digits or better, except last week's game against the Ravens in the divisional round, even though he still had a pretty good day. So he's more shifty than fast, but those are the kind of players that Charvarius Ward has had a little bit of trouble with in the past. So we'll see. Something's got to give in this game. Is Ward going to kind of come back strong after last week's tough day? I will say he had a good day tackling on shorter routes, that play against Kareem Hunt, where Hunt bobbled it there on the last drive. That was obviously a big one. But yeah, Ward through the air. This is kind of a big game for him, not just for the Chiefs, but for his future a little bit, I think, as well, going into the long-term plans for him. Another cornerback receiver matchup. This one probably a little more obvious. Bills cornerback Tre'Davious White going up against Tyreek Hill. Now, there's obviously not many people, if any, I can keep up with Tyreek Hill down the field. But if there's one cornerback that I think has a good shot, I think it's Tre'Davious White. And he's a clutch cornerback, makes a lot of plays where the game's on the line. Pro Football Focus going into the home stretch of the regular season and into the playoffs graded him as the best third down cornerback in the league. And of course, with Tyreek Hill, seems like he's always had pretty good playoff outings. But last week was actually probably his best career playoff game, if you can believe that. His most receiving yards in a single game in the playoffs so far in his career at 110, 8 catches on 10 targets. Of course, had a big impact on the first play of the game on a run attempt on a reverse as well. So this is going to be a fun matchup. Two guys that are just, I think, always fun to watch because they're never satisfied, but they always continue to, keep improving, of course. So these are two guys that I'm just going to enjoy watching on the outside all day long, Tyreek Hill and Tre'Davious White. And really, looking back at that game earlier in the season, I don't think either guy was really a big factor. Tyreek Hill had a couple of catches, but both were kind of short. And I think when you look at Tre'Davious White in that game, there wasn't a lot of plays that really stuck out for him where he jumped off the screen. So this is a game I think where we'll see a little bit of more of those guys prominently, good or bad. So that's obviously probably the top key matchup for me going into Sunday. And then the other one for me, we already talked about it a little bit, was the Chiefs rushing attack on offense versus the Bills front seven on defense. We've seen some inspired play lately of guys like Tremaine Edmonds, Matt Milano, and a couple of times this year of AJ Klein. But this has been a struggling Bills linebacker core this year, something they just have not been used to the last couple of seasons. And again, we've talked about it, how the Chiefs did their best day probably all season running the football in their earlier meeting this year against the Bills. The biggest thing to watch for in the Bills is their yards per attempt allowed. They did a pretty good job last week, obviously, entire day defensively against the Ravens offense, but to corral the rushing attack as good as they did against Lamar Jackson, J.K. Dobbins, and Gus Edwards was really impressive. But if you look back to the wild card weekend game, and they gave up quite a lot of big chunks of runs against Jonathan Taylor, the rookie. So there's a lot of times where you just don't know what kind of run defense or defense overall that you're going to get from the Bills. So that's going to be a key there. And I think the Chiefs, like I said earlier, I think knowing if Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to come back. I think getting him back, I think they're actually going to focus on the run game even more than usual, try to control this a little bit and keep the ball out of Josh Allen's hands as much as they can. So that's going to be a big key matchup to watch for there. A couple other matchups we have coming out on Friday. Again, these will be out eventually once this podcast episode will drop. But I do have my second Chiefs draft prospect profile coming out this week. It's my second offensive line prospect in Samuel Cosmi from Texas, a guy that pretty good prospect in 2019, but even better in 2020, eventually left with a couple of games left in the schedule and opted out of the rest of the season. But this is a big-bodied guy who's got great athleticism. Still has some stuff to work with, both in his footwork and his hand technique, but I love his length. I love his awareness. Texas asked him to do a lot of things, which really showed off his athleticism at 6'7", 309. As a left tackle, you know, asking to be pulled up to the second level. And I think why he'd be a good fit with the Chiefs, honestly, is I think that he's going to be perfect for a zone blocking kind of scheme, and that's something that Andy Reid and the Chiefs obviously use. So a guy that I think, especially with what he needs to work on, again, the hand technique and the footwork and even the leverage and the pad level, I think that'll actually suit him really well to, you know, if he's going to play right away, be in his own blocking scheme. So watch out for that draft profile. My other draft profile from earlier this week was our first wide receiver profile in Terrace Marshall Jr. From LSU. So go check that out as well. Again, I'll be posting all of our articles in a thread on Twitter this week at @FPC_Chiefs, probably on Saturday or Sunday. Maybe I'll do one each day. So just stay tuned for that. But again, that'll be a draft profile that'll drop on Friday, Texas offensive tackle Samuel Cosmi. And then we'll have our preview piece, three keys to victory for each team. I'll throw out one key, though, right now that I have for each team. And again, I've kind of mentioned it a little bit already for the Chiefs, but I think they need to get the running game going and try to control that, play a little ball control offense on Sunday. Even if Patrick Mahomes is back, you can obviously live through his arm and live through the air. I mean, before he got hurt last week, it was really one of Mahomes' better games in a little while, and the offense was humming on a pretty good pace. But I think getting the ball control offense going, and especially if you have Edwards-Helaire, mixing in what you can have with him and Darrell Williams, making defenders look silly and making them miss or just simply running through them or over them, that's going to be, I think, a big key when you go up against the Bills' run defense that has struggled through most of the season. One key that I have for the Bills in this game, I think, is actually be aggressive in blitzing. And they did that really well last week against Lamar Jackson, led to a lot of ugly-looking throws from the Louisville product. And even their blitz on one play knocked Lamar Jackson out of the game. Not like you want to ever see a quarterback get hurt, but just being that relenting all night long like they were on defense led to a lot of wrong reads, a lot of wrong throws. And just a lot of times where the Ravens were really put in tough positions, you know, in early downs, you know, being behind the pace that they're used to playing at, it led to a lot of third downs that it's a distance they're not used to having to, you know, necessarily always try to convert on. So I think even though Patrick Mahomes historically has been mostly good against the blitz, seeing the kind of aggressiveness and unrelentingness unrelenting style that the Bills played with last week in their blitz calls, bringing it from a lot of different looks and angles, could be a big key for them in slowing down the Chiefs offense. And again, the Chiefs offense sometimes is more comfortable, I think, at times in third and longs and third and shorts, but I think that could be a lot different this week when going up against the Bills defense if they're playing up to their potential. So those are a couple of keys. We'll throw out more in, again, in the preview article for Friday. So just stay tuned for all of our keys to victory in that article. Again, download the Full Press Coverage app. That's an easy way to find all of our podcast episodes like this and all of our articles from every team page in one place. Of course, again, like I've mentioned a couple of times in the episode, for injury updates on Friday, and again, where I'll be posting all of our articles from this week, either Saturday or Sunday or both days, go to @FPC_Chiefs on Twitter to follow us there. You guys can follow myself at BradenHolacek9 with the number 9 at the end, of course. We should be having probably a playoff live video sportscaster.com/full press coverage. Ian Glendon, Kyle Senra, and myself. We've had a good shows, a lot of great content coming out over the last few weekends during the playoffs. So stay tuned for that one. It'll probably be, I'm sure, sometime on Sunday we'll be talking. So go check that out. Other daily video content with FPC, ZFPC Radio Live, Ian Glendon, Mike Debate every morning during the week. Great things to watch and listen to there. Because it's not just football. They talk about a lot of different topics that are really exciting and fun to listen to. So go check that out as well. I do know Sportscaster is coming to an end very soon, I think March 1st. So I'm going to be having some daily video content from Full Press Coverage coming out on other various places soon. But for now, sportscaster.com/full press coverage is still where you guys can find all of that. And go check out the other content from the other playoff teams this week as well at FP. I don't remember their exact Twitter handles right now. There's some that are a little different than the Chiefs one for FPC. But yeah, Full Press Buccaneers, Full Press Packers has been doing a lot of good work as well, where Ian Glendon and Kyle Senra, those guys that I mentioned earlier, do a good job of running those team pages. So go check out all the playoff content from this week for those teams. And of course, just stay tuned to fullpresscoverage.com at @FPC_Chiefs on Twitter. Injury updates, posting the articles again this weekend. And of course, during the game live on Sunday, we'll have live coverage. So for that, we are done here. Enjoy the games this weekend, and we will see you guys next time.